Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Well, Kemp Haar is a publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We talk with Kemp on a weekly basis every Wednesday. We basically review the events of the week in the floor covering industry, and we have Kemp on the line with us this morning. He is attending the Floor Expo National Conference. It's in Santa Ana, Pueblo, New Mexico. And Kemp, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a nice weather we've got out here in the desert.
I bet it is. It's pretty exotic out there, isn't it?
It is. Actually, you know, it's intense. This is an intense meeting, and in a minute we'll go into, you know, what all they're up to. But you couldn't have it in a better place. I mean, I'm right here by the Rio Grande, and you know, it's just gorgeous countryside. And there's a breeze, which is nice based on some of the weather that we've been getting there in the southeast.
Yeah, I bet you guys aren't staying in a Motel 6 either, are you?
No, we're not. This is at the Hyatt, so it's a spa and resort. It's called the Tamaya Resort and Spa.
I see. Yeah. Now, the people that are attending this meeting are in the floor covering industry, obviously, and they do business with people in the home building area, so I suspect that everybody's not wearing a party hat there.
Well, actually, you know, let me tell you a little bit about that. Obviously, you know, the home building business is down, and Floor Expo basically is a pretty smart organization because they've got two subsets in their organization. They've got the single family and the multifamily. And, you know, when single-family housing is off, that usually bodes well for multifamily. So diversification is paying well, and it's well thought out for the way they've organized.
Let me ask you a question about that. Do single companies normally do business in both the single and multifamily arena?
Actually, there are a few that do, but as a general rule, they've got members that are on one side or members that are on the other side. So, and I've got to tell you, you know, I sat through, you know, Jay Smith is the president, and David, is that Giesling?
Giesling, right.
And he's the, you know, CEO, and those guys have been giving some excellent presentations just to catch us up with what's going on. And the funny one is, you know, this morning when they were talking about, yesterday morning, they were talking about the whole single family environment, and they put, have you seen that artwork called The Scream?
Yes.
They showed a slide of The Scream, and they showed a slide of the 3 Mile Island, you know, for Meltdown. And so, you know, they started out with a little bit of humor, but you know what they were saying is that, yeah, the builder business is off, you know, at least 20%, but the good news is that if the organization, the members they have here, and I think in the single family segment they have about 50 members here, collectively their business is only off about 10%. So that means they're taking market share. And one of the things, the key point I want to hit is, you know, they were talking about what got us to where we are today, and there were 4 points that they made. And they did it in reverse order, kind of like David Letterman does. You know, they did number four was the 2.2 million foreclosures, which is a $75 billion in losses that's going on right now. And number three, as a result of those foreclosures, the credit tightening that we've got. You know, lenders are less apt to give money, and you know, that's a major factor. And then affordability. Affordability is a key thing that, you know, even Greenspan in his memoirs book was talking about this. You know, housing took off, so, you know, it got out of range. It got out of where people with a normal income could afford it. And until housing prices come back down to the same growth level where income levels are, you know, nobody can afford a house.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense.
So, you know, that was a key part of it. And, you know, they did point out when they were talking about the foreclosures, you know, one of the main reasons for those foreclosures is because we got ridiculous with 0% down and interest only. I mean, that was the stuff that they were selling out there.
People buying houses that they could not afford.
That's right. They didn't have any money. You know, they were just going to these banks and you know, they're getting these great deals, and the banks were doing the deals because nowadays, you know, they sell it off.
And know, they didn't ever see the market going down.
That's right, yeah. But the number one reason, and I want to make sure I hit on this, the number one reason right now for the downturn is the inventory situation. You know, we've built more houses. There are more houses in inventory. I mean, once these builders got, it's like they're addicted. I mean, they just couldn't stop, and they kept building, and there's a huge inventory right now. And so until that inventory comes down, then this business is continue to be soft.
I hear you. Let's take a break here. I want to come back and ask you a little bit more about the Floor Expo National Conference in New Mexico. Kent Parr is with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar is with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine, partnering the website floordaily.net. Kemp, as we speak, is in New Mexico. He is attending the Floor Expo National Conference, toughing it out there in the desert.
You pointed out that toughing it out. It is a gorgeous place, but I will tell you, I've been to many of these type of, you know, buying groups or membership organizations, and these guys came here to work. It's a nice environment, and so, you know, it starts a little, you know, it doesn't start till 9 a.m., and it's over at 5 p.m., so you get a little bit of time to spend outside.
Well, I'm not suggesting that you're not working. I'm just suggesting that you're working in really nice surroundings.
Well, it is nice surroundings, but what I'm saying is that I am really surprised to see, you know, how much they are working here. And what they're doing, what they're really doing, the reason they come out here is to network and learn from each other. And, this organization provides them with the tools that they need, you know, to the type of information and the systems and, all the support things they need to help them take the market share. So that, they're not focusing on the fact that the business is off. They're focusing on getting the business that's still there. Mm-hmm. So, in many markets, it's off as much as 40%. But, by sitting in some of these seminars and having these members compare notes with each other, and that is the format. Most of it's breakout sessions where they just hear from each other. Then they're learning, a couple of tricks to help in their own marketplace. Mm-hmm.
You know, I would think that Floor Expo, of all the groups in this industry, is really at the top when it comes to interaction among the members.
Oh, it is. It is.
That really tops at
doing not, that. You and I have both been to some of these other things, and it's not a lecture situation like you see in some of these others. I mean, this is roundtable type things. So it's a good environment.
Learning from each other.
Right.
How much conversation was there or is there about what happens now, about the turnaround in the floor cut or in the building arena, rather, and how fast that's going to be once it does happen?
Well, they showed, they tried to throw a little humor in. They showed this mad-looking scientist doctor with his crystal ball, and then they went right on in to show some predictions. Until this inventory situation corrects itself, and one of the ways that it can correct itself is by these, as we know, and I think one of the stories we're going to talk about in a minute is about these major builders that are, cutting prices now to offload their inventory, and until they can get that inventory down, this situation's not going to improve.
That's absolutely key. And in some instances, it's amazing to me, and I think you made reference to this in the previous segment, how much inventory these people have. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Oh, it is. And, it's classic supply and demand. And, you're not going to get top dollar when there's a lot of, it's a buyer's market out there. And a lot of buyers are sitting around right now thinking, I'm going to hold out and try to buy at the bottom. And that's the situation we're in.
Well, the situation that you were talking about, it looks like, this may be the beginning of a real movement among home builders. This over this past weekend, Hovnanian held a 3-day sale. It's something they called the deal of the century. And they had, I think they sold some 2,100 gross sales at this event. And they effectively lowered prices. I'm not sure what the word effectively means. That means they didn't actually do it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But they effectively lowered prices by $100,000. They also offered a lot of extra freebies, appliances, upgrades, and I'm not sure what else. But they had some nearly 2,800 homes in inventory, spec homes that they had built on the come in inventory. That's pretty amazing.
It is amazing, and again, that's what we were talking about a minute ago. If the price of housing doesn't get down to a realistic area where it's affordable, or doesn't grow at the same pace as income, then you know it's just going to be out of sight, and therefore there's not going to be as much turn.
That's exactly right. I wonder how many people bought these houses, you know, which were $100,000 off, and still couldn't afford them.
Oh,
really?
You got to know they're upset when the house next door that was, you know, that's
oh, yeah.
6 months newer is selling for $100,000 less.
That's exactly right. And I suspect that we're going to be seeing, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of home builders in the same situation offering houses with, you know, prices slashed, a lot of extra add-ons and so on, and which is going to help things overall. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break here. And we've got a couple of more things I want to mention to you about housing when we come back. We're talking this morning with Kemp Parr. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Parr is with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He is attending the Floor Expo National Convention that is in New Mexico, and I wanted to make sure to mention that Kemp is working very hard out there.
That's right. Out here in a lovely spa and resort, but I'm working with a group of people that are out here to learn.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you get back home. Everybody in the industry get back home from going to a really nice place, and the wife says, you know, yeah, you really worked hard out there. I bet in that spa right out there, and you brought your golf clubs with you, and so on. And it's hard to convince them that you're actually not laying in the pool all day or something.
But you and I both know that not only do we sit in these meetings, but when we step out in the hallways, we're running into all these people, and you know, they got things to tell you. So, yeah, it's nonstop.
That's exactly right. One of the things, we were talking about the Hovnanian sale, the deal of the century is what they called it. They sold some 2,100 homes in 3 days. They collected a lot of deposits and so on. And I guess the bottom line is, according to what Ira Hovnanian said, that obviously there are people out there that want to buy homes and are waiting on the sidelines for more attractive prices, and this was one such opportunity. And I suspect we're going to see a lot more of them.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think, I noticed that you put up a story today that backs up what we've been talking about, that they did release some builder confidence information this morning, yesterday morning.
Wasn't good. Yesterday afternoon, actually. It wasn't good either. It was a seventh consecutive decline. This was the National Association of Home Builders Wells Fargo Housing Market Index. It comes out every month. It was off a couple of points to 20, and this is the lowest that it's been.
Yeah.
And it's the seventh consecutive monthly decline, which I don't think surprised anybody.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, like I was telling you a minute ago, when they got their crystal ball slide out, right after that they said they felt like that 2009 was going to be a good year, that it was going to take, you know, 2008, and this is a single-family market, because the actually multifamily market's going to be on fire here earlier, but, you know, the single-family market is going to be soft through 2008 is what they were thinking.
Well, of course, and after listening to several economists on this program, many are telling me that when we do see a turnaround, many think it's going to be, you know, start the end of next year, or many think it's going to be at some time in 2009. Whenever it starts, many are telling me that it's not going to be what it was in 2005 and 2006, and they remind me that we're not going to see something like that probably for quite some time.
Yeah, they were making the prediction, I think, in 2009 that we'd see 1 million new homes. So that's the pace it's going to come back up to in 2009 is what they were predicting.
Which is certainly not what we all remember from the bubble days.
Right, the peak of 2005.
Yeah, the peak of 2005, and those days, unfortunately, are over.
Yeah.
So lots of dealers, doing business with home builders, and obviously, what are there builders there as well attending presenting?
What they call, you know, a Floor Expo said they're the America's largest floor covering contractor organization. So it's companies that focus on selling flooring to either single family home builders or to multifamily.
Are there builders that are presenting there?
There are a few industry people that are giving information, but there's not any builders here.
I got you. Let's take a break. I'm going to come back and change the subject. Lots of interesting things happening in the business over this past week. We're talking with Kemp Haar, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. Kemp's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We have Kemp Haar on the line with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're looking back at some of the events that have occurred in this business over the last 7 days, one of which was Shaw signing a definitive agreement to acquire the Anderson Company, the hardwood producer, which I guess the fact that Shaw is buying a hardwood producer is probably no big surprise.
No, it's not. But, it is kind of – it almost is settling news, because we've known that Shaw and backed with Berkshire Hathaway have been kind of in the market looking around, and there was early rumors they were looking at Armstrong, and certainly we knew with some of the changes they were making in management that they definitely wanted to build up their offerings in the hard surface side. And I think we talked last week that if you run from a revenue perspective, when you look at Mohawk, they are now 52% hard surface. So Shaw definitely does not want to be, missing in that game. And so now, I think, when you look at what they've done, Mohawk recently bought Columbia, which was, Columbia was the number two. Armstrong, obviously, the number one player in the hardwood market with around $760 million in sales. Columbia, just under $200 million. Mohawk bought them. And in Mohawk, that makes them roughly a $300 million player in the hardwood market. So who's right after that? I mean, the next biggest domestic player is Anderson, and now Shaw owns Anderson.
Yeah, so Anderson Shaw is number three. What do you suppose their share is? Somewhere 7-8%, something like that?
I think that's about right. Yeah, and we understand, that I'm not sure Shaw's done. So, but anyway, they definitely bought. I think we're buying Anderson family-run company. If you take a look at over 60 years of experience, very high quality. They're the guys who have a wide selection, and they have several designers that are on staff that get involved with color trends. And another unique thing they have is they have an operation where once their wood is made to give it their hand-scraped look, they've got an agreement with the South Carolina Corrections folks, and they actually use their labor to enhance the look of their product.
And beautiful it is.
It is very pretty.
Have you been to their stand at Surfaces?
Oh, I have. Last year they had increased. I forgot whose space they took, but it was huge. And they had those little vignettes that were upside down, so that
right. I can't remember whose space that was, but upstairs they had a second story, and it was sort of a new product development area where you could see what was going on, and specifically they did that to get input.
People
who were attending the show. I thought that was a really great idea and some really interesting stuff.
Oh, and Dave, I think you may have missed this trip, but I went to last year they opened their design center.
Right, I missed that, yes.
In South Carolina, and when you go in there, it's gorgeous. They've got this, one of their new products is this, got this finish on it they call fuming, which is some proprietary way of making a non-gloss Beautiful texture. It looks almost like it's an oiled wood, except it's a lot harder than that. But anyway, you walk in and this design center, and they've got an amphitheater. I mean, they apparently bring designers in all the time and get their, you know, kind of a feedback. And then right beside the amphitheater for roundtable discussions is a training place where they teach people how to put flooring in. And then right next to that is this gorgeous, like, laboratory scenario where they mix and match colors and just play with options. So they definitely have the right infrastructure for coming up with some neat looks, and I guess now that's the Shaw property.
And they've certainly done that. And you mentioned they market under several brands. I think there's, what, five? Anderson, Virginia Vintage, Appalachian, of course, the Biltmore Estate, and the Anderson Pacific brands.
Yeah, you know, the guy who started Anderson was a really interesting fellow. He was a pilot, and he died recently. Well, he had four daughters, and so the guy who was running Anderson right now, Don Finkel, was the husband of one of the daughters. And so, I mean, it's basically been a family-run organization since the beginning. And I understand Don's staying on and is going to, you know, work with
them. Yeah, that's what they say. And in fact, the whole team is going to be staying
on.
That's right.
And, you know, they're going to keep, according to what I hear, they're going to, you know, continue to sell it as an Anderson-branded flooring.
Well, they'd be crazy not to.
That's right.
Let's take a break here. One more comment about Anderson when we come back. This morning we're talking with Kemp Haar, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to pause here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar is with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're looking back at the events that have occurred in the last 7 days in this business. Are you aware? I just got off the Anderson website, and Anderson will not honor a warranty claim for any product that was sold over the Internet, and they won't accept any returns of any product sold over the Internet. I don't know if anybody else that does that. Maybe there's a lot out there, but I don't know of it.
Well, that sounds like a family-run organization. They're trying to protect the channel, and that's the right thing to do. And they realize that, you know, they're an American a company. And, you know, products are made in America, and so it doesn't surprise me.
It's interesting. Anyway, wanted to get that in. Also, this week, and in that we are reviewing some of the events that have happened in this business over the last 7 days, CCA announced it was going to make some senior, already had, I guess, made some senior management changes. They also said they were going to add divisions, but there really was no comment about that. I guess we'll have to wait and see what that's all about.
Yeah, it's interesting when I looked at that. You know, they didn't really address the fact that, we all know that, you know, recently Alan Greenberg, you know, passed away, and
yes,
after his fight with cancer, and they didn't even really address that. But you can tell by almost what they didn't say that Howard Brodsky is obviously standing there now as the sole CEO. So that was clear in the way they kind of commented.
Well, and they also mentioned in there was a comment by Sandy Mishkin.
Yes.
Who, of course, has been involved in the organization since day one. Although we haven't seen as much said about him, so I would take from that maybe he's playing a more active role than he has over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I guess so. And then you've got I noticed Eric Demery. There were two major pieces of this news. They've got a new chief marketing officer, this guy wasn't even with the organization, right? I mean, he's basically new to the organization.
Well, Dean Macarelli.
Yeah,
he had been. And I checked back. I can't say exactly when he left, but it was something, my estimation would be somewhere in the vicinity of 2005. He had been the president of Carpet One, had been with the organization for some time, left. I'm not sure where he went. One of they said he's held the title of chief marketing officer at Levitt's and also of Stevens Advertising, a major advertising agency. Now, whether he was there or not these last couple of years, I don't know. But now he has come back to CCA as a chief marketing officer.
And
another change was to Charlie Dilks, who had been the chief operating officer at Carpet One, has been moved to the role of chief product officer.
Right.
And the former chief product officer had been Jim Gould, and they said he's going to leave and he's going to open a consulting agency, and CCA will be his first client.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So that's really all that was said about it. I don't know a whole lot about that.
Yeah, and then and one other one that's pretty important is Eric Demery.
Eric Demery, right?
Yeah, he was just 3 or 4 years ago he was a buyer for Home Depot. And then he came over, and I guess he's been doing some of the right things at the organization, because now he's COO.
He is COO of Carpet One. He took the spot that was opened by Charlie Dilks. And, of course, Eric had come in to run the Stone Mountain GCO,
the floor trader operation.
And so, obviously, he'd done a good job there, and they moved him into the CCA, and he has had some interesting and profitable experience, I suspect, at Carpet One, which is helping him a good deal. Mm-hmm. Another thing I thought was interesting, Mike Cherico. Now, Mike had been with Flooring America since the beginning, mm-hmm. back in the A.J. Nassar days, and really bright guy, and he had been a buyer. He'd been several things. And they had put him to head the Lighting One. He had been the president of Lighting One. He still is. He will come in and he will take over the whole outlet division, the GCO, Floor Trader, Stone Mountain.
He's taking Eric Demery's job.
And he will still continue in his role at Lighting One. And he's having some folks come in. Tony Greco is going to be senior VP at the Floor Trader, GCO, and Stone Mountain. And Eric Bernstein is going to be the chief operating officer of the ProSource operation. So lots of changes. Now, I thought intriguing was the comment that they said about adding divisions. But they piqued my curiosity there.
How do you think they did this? You think they just all had these job titles on these chairs and they played some music and then everybody sat down when the music stopped?
It might have been. Well, but there's a lot of talented people there.
I
think one thing that they do is to give them opportunities in other parts of the company, which I think is a really good idea.
In all honesty, I think...
Oh, I know you're kidding.
A lot of talent there.
Yeah, so. There's a lot of talent. Let's take a break here.
All right.
We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stand by. This is Floor Radio. We are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're talking with Kemp Haar, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website Floor Daily. We're looking back at some of the events that have occurred in this business over the last 7 days, one of which was a patent has been issued to Armstrong for the hardwood flooring in the hardwood flooring arena for a locking joint. Now, it doesn't say anything about the joint itself, so I'm totally in the dark.
Yeah, it's for an engineered hardwood product.
Engineered hardwood product.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I suppose that they will be added to this, these people that are suing each other over intellectual property all the time. Now there'll be another litigant or litigee, however you're going to cut that. Anyway, we've talked about how much has been happening in this whole intellectual property arena over the last several weeks, and
this is just one more
player who is getting involved, and I guess it just shows you the importance that this whole intellectual property arena is taking with some of these major players in the hard surface arena.
Speaking of what we talked about last week, you know, last week we talked about the Shaw closing that plant. I said it was in the middle of nowhere, somewhere between a rock and a cloud. And I got some feedback that actually that where that place was famous. That's actually where they captured Jefferson Davis. You know, the old the head of the, you know, Confederacy.
Yeah,
it's down in that little area. So that shows you even more how remote it should be.
Yeah,
it could be.
He knew where to hide, I guess.
I guess so.
I see.
Hey, another thing we haven't mentioned, we've got to mention, a lot of people think this is probably pre-recorded, but yesterday's news about the Fed lowering the discount rate by half a point. You know, there was a lot of talk in the papers, financial papers, on Monday, you know, that it's probably just going to be a quarter of a point. And the fact that they won a half a point, I thought was pretty big news.
Well, the talking heads, of course, and nobody has a clue what the Fed is going to do until they say, you know, what they've already done. We had John McDivitt on this program, who had been, he's been with us on Floor Radio for 15 years. He's a former a corporate economist at 3M. He hit the nail right on the head. In fact, he said he wouldn't even be surprised if they did a little bit more than 50 basis points. So,
yeah.
In fact, if you want to listen to his conversation, it's on Floor Daily as we speak.
So that takes the rate down to 5.25. Then.
That's exactly right.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, one more thing I wanted to mention. We're almost out of time here. Shaw announced his fall marketing plan just a couple of days ago. A lot of print ads, a lot of TV ads, and it just seems to me, just from sort of dead reckoning as a TV viewer, I've never seen more floor covering ads on television in any recent year than we're seeing this year. Have you experienced that same thing?
No, I haven't, and you know, I think it's wise that you know, in a down market, you should spend some time. This is the time to spend, you know, building your brand so that as things start to turn around, you know, you're poised and, you know, you know what they say about branding is, you know, you want to be not only in people's minds, but you want to be in the right room and in somebody's mind. And so, you know, this is what both Shaw and also recently, I think, Stainmaster has picked their fall advertising up, I think, by 40% versus last year. But, you know, you just want the consumer to remember who you are so that, you know, when times turn around, then they're
exactly
in their buying
right.
Your product.
And all of them are showing beautiful floors. And I would say the Stainmaster ads certainly do that. And I suspect introduce a lot of people to some beautiful carpets they've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make one correction. When the rate was dropped yesterday by the Federal Open Market Committee, they dropped it to 4.75%.
Oh, 4.75.
4.75.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just wanted to make that correction. And on that note, we're out of time, Kemp.
All right.
And I want to make sure you you enjoy all the spa facilities and everything there in the Santa Ana Pueblo, New Mexico, where you are attending the Floor Expo National Conference.
Well, I'll see you tomorrow at the FCIF golf tournaments. So,
that's right. That's right. We'll be going down there, and at least we won't be playing, but we'll be enjoying the company.
That's right.
Very good. Have a good trip back.
All right. Appreciate it.
We'll see you, Kemp.
All right.
We've been talking with Kemp Haar. He's the publisher of Floor Focus magazine, and this is Floor Radio.